Thank you, Don. I appreciate the opportunity to take a few moments and try to provide an estimate of the value of transgenic insecticidal technologies for cotton producers. Now, this is a difficult task in that because of variation in species composition, population levels, and environment, that we can place a single number on that value. So what I hope to do is to try and describe some of the characteristics that we have seen in the past and will continue to see in the future with regard to the value of these traits. I intend to do this by carrying you a bit back in history up to that point to where the first Bolgard traits were commercialized and used by cotton producers in 1996. I want to talk briefly about the target pest and the evolving traits to address a much broader spectrum of control of those pests. And then a few current issues that seem to continue coming up with regard to a challenge of this value. About every 20 years, we seem to have a near disaster in insect pest management with regard to the development of insecticide resistance. Now, this particular graphic shows the value of the pyrethroid insecticides when they were first introduced in 1977. I think you can determine which side was sprayed and that side which was not. Since 1990, we have seen a dramatic increase, and a consistent increase, I might add, in the survivorship of the tobacco budworm, one of the key target pests of transgenic technologies, to pyrethroid insecticides. At that point in time, we surpassed a critical level when we would begin to see field control failures occur if populations exceeded certain levels in fields. Prior to the introduction of Bolgard in Louisiana, we were averaging about 5 insecticide applications specifically for the heliothine complex, that being bollworm and tobacco budworm. However, the high number of applications could have exceeded 10 to 12 within a given year. Fortunately, after 20 years of discovery and development, in 1996, we had the opportunity to see the first commercial BT cotton plants in the field. I think their success cannot be questioned at that point in time. We were at a level, as Dr. Gore previously described, where cotton farmers were leaving the industry because of the lack of effective control tools for these insects. It's very clear to see the value of these in replicated small plot tests. The areas which had no cotton are those which did not contain the trait. Those areas surrounding the low yielding spots all contained BT traits. And in the presence of tobacco budworm, it's an extremely valuable tool, and that in the late 1990s into the early 2000s, we begin to see cotton fields of this type again with very low inputs for control of bollworm and tobacco budworm. If we look at the percent yield loss in Louisiana from 1990 through 2008, we've seen a gradual reduction in that yield loss. At the highest level was around 8% in 1992. Since that point in time, for the last 5 years, we've averaged less than 1.5% yield loss to these pests. For many years, this was the most destructive pest based on the cotton loss estimates due to insects. In the last 2 years, that has been surpassed by tarnished plant bug in Louisiana. I don't think anyone can argue with the success of the technologies based on grower adoption, not only in Louisiana, but across the entire cotton belt. Louisiana basically has hit near saturation in planted acres of Bolgard, Bolgard 2, and Wide Strike for the last 3 or 4 years, planting over 90% of the cotton acreage in that state to these traits. However, as has been mentioned before, these traits are not bulletproof. However, they did provide an emergency, or they met the needs of an emergency at that point in time. But it didn't take very long before we begin to see and identify some of the weaknesses of single traits that existed out there. In response to the need of the industry, companies evolved, and in 2003, we had an opportunity to plant stacked insecticidal proteins in cotton plants. And again, in 2005, more cotton varieties, the wide strike traits, were brought online. Most of the ag chem industries have not slowed down. You're going to see additional traits in 2010 and perhaps even in 2012. At other meetings during this conference, you will hear about the specifics of the VipCot and Bayer Twin Link technologies that are available. All of these were put in place to broaden that spectrum of control and further add value while reducing insecticide applications for more target pests. What we have seen is that we have shifted the number of species from suppression to satisfactory control with both Bolgar 2 and also with Wide Strike by adding the second proteins into those technologies. One question that remains is to completely define if these traits are in fact reducing additional inputs. When we talk about foliar spray decisions, and we focus specifically on the initial targets, that being the heliothines, we have reduced that and see a downward trend as well. So we're seeing not only a reduction in yield losses, but also a reduction in input costs based on application frequency of products specifically for bollworm and tobacco budworm. If we make a more direct comparison, however, of the number of sprays or frequency of sprays on BT traded cotton versus non-BT, there's a difference of about one application. Now, over the length of period in which I collected this data from 1999 to 2008, even though the averages are about one application difference between the two, you'll see that most of those differences occurred during the early years. This is not to mean that in recent years the value has decreased. It's just that we have saturated our acreage with Bolgar, Bolgar 2, and Wide Strike cotton varieties, so it's harder to find those areas that actually are non-BT across the state. And averages are decreasing as we continue to see that saturation. In general, the registration of Bolgar decreased insecticide applications for bollworm by about 50%. The stack proteins are going to further decrease that about another 50%. We will not see an elimination of applications in the near future, but we will continue to see this decrease occur. Dr. Gore also talked about non-target pest management, and this is where the majority of the cost, foliar insecticide costs, are coming into play today. If we compare the reduction in insecticide applications for heliothines to all other pests, we still see a decrease. But most of that is a function of a reduction in insecticides for those targets. As we broaden the spectrum of transgenics from caterpillars to hopefully in the future to some of our bug pests, these numbers will continue to decline for all pests. So some of the key points that I think we should carry home is looking at the transgene, insecticidal transgene value, is to remember that heliothines will remain as pests. In areas where we have planted a high percentage of non-BT cotton across the Mid-South, it doesn't take very long for tobacco budworm to reemerge as a primary pest, causing significant yield loss. Transgenes in the future will continue to decrease insecticide requirements for more pests. The pest spectrum will improve as we see more traits incorporated into those technologies. It's very important to remember that even though these are high upfront cost, you do have a predictable level of crop protection provided by those traits. It's not reactive anymore. And it's a wonderful risk management tool to reduce the possibility of severe yield losses from those target pests. However, I do have some concerns, and that is competition among the industries are critical to manage these upfront costs. The more traits and the more companies that are involved will greatly benefit cotton producers in trying to determine which of these technologies best fit their needs. I have concerns about what we're referring to today as value-added components. If these are really value-added to the producer or to the industry, such as seed treatments which are being placed on these traits or traded cotton by the basic manufacturers. And it's very important to continue germplasm enhancement. 2010 is a transition year where we will be moving from the single traded cottons into the stacked gene cottons. It's the last year that we will be allowed to plant varieties such as Delta Pine 555. Presently, the seed companies are searching very diligently, trying to find replacement varieties for that cultivar, and hopefully we'll see some of these in the near future. With that, I'll conclude and pass to the next speaker.